Well, Helen sounds nice, doesn't she?
Yeah, better than Karen. I feel sorry for the Karens.
My cousin, the alcoholic one.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned
her name's
that.
Karen.
Kaz.
Yeah, they call her Auntie Kaz.
Auntie Kaz, yeah. Karen's like one of those names that just got ruined for you.
It did.
Imagine like being like part of the Hitler family in 1933, and everyone be like, "Yeah, that Hitler family, they're stand-up folks. They really are."
And now, then within the next decade, that took a turn for the worse.
Sure did. Sure did.
How did that Harry Potter guy get the name Harry Potter in the rugby? Like, for God's sake, Harry Potter the books have been around for yonks.
He's a bit of a magic player.
They always drop that one in there. That's a bit of magic from Harry Potter.
Finally, he was a bit better. Obviously, he's got to be a relatively...
He's in the Wallaby squad.
Oh, is he? Well done. Good yeah. Mom, Harry. Show us a bit of magic.
Show us a bit of magic.
Show us Muggles a bit of magic, would you, Harry? Can't resist. What's going on with your chair? I feel like you're at a funny angle.
I just shifted closer to you because you're such an attractive human.
Shift back a little bit. You're making me nervous.
Okay, I'm just trying to get us...
And that feels like it's far away.
Somewhere towards the middle.
Everything's squiffed today.
Okay.
And also, I'm sucking on an antacid.
And you decided, let's just start recording and talking to microphones before I finish that thing.
Yeah. Well,
you had a bit of heartburn.
I had a touch of heartburn, and when I have a beer, it can kind of aggravate it. So I thought, smart move.
Doctors say, if you're going to have beer when you got heartburn...
Have a Quickies. Yeah, is Quickies a New Zealand brand?
Probably. It's kind of a New Zealand sounding name.
Mm.
Quick Ease. I think, is it Q-U-I-K? E-Z-E?
Don't know.
Or is it Q-I-C-K?
It's definitely not a Q and a U.
Q-U-I-C-K, yeah.
And I think it might be easy, like it's about
E-Z. It's definitely E-Z-E.
No, E-Z-Y? Or Ease, like.
Yeah, Ease.
Not, but Ease is about E-A.
It's easing your pain or your burning quickly.
There are a lot of spelling errors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't help with your spelling. It just helps with your heartburn.
No. And also, you also struggle to record a podcast while sucking on.
That's true.
I think maybe you should talk for a little bit. What's the name of the podcast?
2 Cents Gets Distracted. A rugby podcast, and Tony's going to rant on about cricket again.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I've got some stats for you.
Okay.
Hold on.
Save your powder.
I've got to get my phone. You
get
talk
that,
for
Get
some...
that for when everyone is turned off at the end of the podcast.
Remind me to get my phone, because I got... Some exciting
Shall
stuff
I make to... a note?
Oh, yeah.
Tony.
Get your phone.
Phone.
That's going to be great.
There you go. Yeah. Let's see if we can remember what that is in an hour's time.
I will, because I'm gagging to You're tell gagging you about for it. Okay. I am gagging for it. It's true. Okay. This quick ease is not digesting quickly, but it is making...
Is it giving you the ease quickly?
I haven't even had a sip of my beer. This is... What do you call it when you put two opposite things within your own system? Is there a word for that?
Not a great idea.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah.
Not a great idea. And cheers to you for watching this, which may not be the greatest use of your time.
That's true. Put it on in the background while you're doing something else so we don't feel so guilty
yeah, exactly.
about it.
Exactly. If you're just sitting there, I don't think there's that many people who are
just
like,
consuming this.
Oh, it's Tuesday night. I'm going to put it on the big screen to get the whole family round to watch Mark and Tony talk.
I mean, if you do, power to you.
Yeah, we love you. We really do. We appreciate the whole lot of you.
Exactly.
But I don't think that's the main way we consume.
I tend to consume podcasts when I do things like wash the car.
Yeah, wash the car. Doing the washing. I was actually listening to some podcast today.
Yep.
Mowing the lawns.
Yeah.
Driving my car.
Can you imagine... Just not that long ago, people had to just mow the lawns. I mean, you maybe put the radio on if you had...
A Walkman on?
But what about pre-Walkman? You just had to mow the lawns. Be with your own thoughts. You actually had to be by yourself in your own head.
I had
not go insane.
I had a string quartet following me around at all times. Playing Ave Maria.
There you go.
Ave Maria... It's quite, it was silly. They cost a lot.
I bet they did.
They really did.
You should have got someone to mow your lawns.
That would have been better. That would have been better. I could have paid 4 gardeners a lot less, and they would have done a better job.
Yeah, garden would have looked amazing.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah, string cord teenat ain't cheap.
This is true.
Yeah. And then for a while, I got a mariachi band following me around.
I'd love a good mariachi band.
But mariachi bands are fun.
Yeah.
Mm.
I haven't been to Mexico.
I have.
How was it?
It was great.
Were there any mariachi bands?
There 100% was.
Really? It's not just a stereotype?
Because I was there for my brother's, wedding.
Oh, that's right. Then, I've met your brother and the Mexican partner.
Mexican wife, yes. And They were nice, by the way. They're lovely people. Very, very nice.
I don't think they had any children.
They have two now.
Okay.
Well, they probably did have children.
They probably did, because they've not had two since then.
No, they've had...
They would have been back to back.
They've had four. They've got a 4- and a 2-year-old, so...
Okay, they definitely had children. yeah, my memory sucks.
Yeah, well, that's... We've established that. No, so they had the big... They had the ceremony for their wedding. It was probably the most spectacular, immense wedding I've ever been to. And had the ceremony, which was like on the side of this mountain, which was quite incredible.
Yeah.
But then we're all down in the reception area, which was this big open marquee, incredible space. And then when in New Zealand, when the bride and the groom come into the reception area, there's a big, introducing Mr. and Mrs. Morgan.
Yeah.
Crazy in Love by Beyonce goes off. Well, they came in, instead of the, introducing Mr. and Mrs. O'Sullivan, they came in with a mariachi band behind them.
No way.
They weren't playing that one. But yeah, they came in with a big old, a massive, freaking giant Mexican dudes playing.
That must have been the greatest moment of your life.
It was pretty great. I barred up immediately.
I bet you did.
It was great. No, it was a fabulous wedding. Probably one of the best weddings, maybe the best wedding I've ever been to, really. They know how to party, the Mexicans.
I bet they do.
No, they do. What's the song I was about to thinking of?
La cucaracha, no, la cucaracha.
I was thinking of...
Which just means the cockroach. No. That's weird.
Really?
Yeah, cucaracha is a cockroach.
You know La 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 Bamba?
Okay, yes, I do know La Bamba.
But not, they're not saying La 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 Bamba. It's like La Va Da Da Da. It's like a...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not a La 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 La.
I don't speak any Spanish.
Yeah, but it's quite clear.
Gracias.
Yeah, yeah.
Un, dos, tres. Yeah. The Santa Maria. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is,
this is terrible.
This is terrible.
Oh, this is awful. Yeah. Two middle-aged white guys.
The
just
song I was
out
thinking of was
music.
We Like to Party. We like to party. But that's not Mexican at all.
True.
It's really not. Okay.
Do you remember that song, Chacarón Macarón?
Sing it to me.
It's just the nonsense song where he's just like, yeah, chacarón, macarón, like the whole time. And he doesn't have any lyrics.
Is it sort of like that song,
oh yeah, banana bomb bomb. Okay, it doesn't go that way.
Remember that one?
That's the dick.
Yeah.
Banana bomb bomb. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my God!
It's like called Something Orange or something like that. It's about as eighties gets, and it's like an acid trip through the '80s. It's quite an experience.
This is quite an experience.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I apologize.
If you're the first time you're tuning into this podcast, we apologize immediately.
Any first time viewers have long since left.
Yeah, well, everybody has to be a
first-time viewer at some point.
At some time. So they stayed on at some stage. Some stay.
And it's that one that stayed.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks like a bit of me.
These guys, I can relate to these kind of dickheads.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. They sound like me and my friends.
There we go.
Yeah.
Is it time?
So, I guess so. Oh, we have talk about we have got a sponsor.
We're drinking beer.
We're drinking beers, these. Our sponsor, there's a couple of hints here. We've got Liberty Halo Pilsner.
Which is not, despite the word Liberty. Well, what country do you think of when you hear Liberty?
Land of Liberty. Mm. Well, they brag about it a lot. The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The Yanks. And you're wearing a Seattle Seawolves hat.
I am.
So,
we'll
give you a moment to think about it. Who could our sponsor be?
Where could our sponsor be from?
Well, yeah, they're not going to... Well, unless they've viewed it before, but we are sponsored by the wonderful people, the incredible boxing gym, the Ballad Bar Bell. How was that?
Really well done. Don't pause now.
Yeah, and Boxing Club.
There you go.
The great people at the Ballad Bar Bell. I can't...
Just get it done.
Ballad... I really struggle to say barbell. Barbell.
After the word ballad.
Yeah, for some reason, ballad really throws me off barbell. So once I want to say barbell.
You do? Like a bauble? Imagine if they sold baubles.
Barbell, Ballad Barbell. It's honestly a tongue twister for me.
Ballad Barbell in boxing.
Boxing. yeah, boxing gym. club.
Which is a gym.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to go down there,
Cardio
on, improve your pugilistic arts, get in a little bit of combat time, hang out with some like-minded people.
The guy who runs it, Nate, loves his rugby.
Nate Dogg.
So if you were in Ballard or the Seattle area and were like, I'd like to do some sparring or do a bit of gym work and talk some rugby with somebody.
I'm often thinking that.
I reckon that would be the place to go.
Indeed.
He's kindly sponsored us.
Thank you so much, my dude.
Bought us these beers.
What a bloody legend.
To Liberty and to Ballard Barbell.
Yeah, and good luck to all those people in America for this week. They've got a bit of a big old week in the States.
It's a bit of a fight in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. In the red corner.
I've been paying zero attention to that.
Really?
Pretty much.
I was really... Because I, in the past, I've lost my beer. Where have I fucking put it? Jeez, why did I put it down there? Retarded. Can't say that
anymore. Don't think you're allowed to say that word anymore.
Even when referring to myself?
No.
Stank.
It's the people... I'm going to dig myself into a deeper hole about you offending other people. No!
Anyway, okay.
We're nice people, generally.
What was my question? I was about to say something before we got ourselves into this politically.
Politics.
Oh, yeah. So, politics. So, in the past, I've got overly invested in the American elections because it's fascinating. It really is. Even, like, going back as far as, like, I was interested.
Clinton versus Bush.
Clinton versus Bush, I was aware of. And then wasn't really interested in, I was too young to get overly involved. I knew that Bill Clinton was the president, all that sort of thing.
But who did Al Clinton Gore, beat after he beat Bush? He beat Bush Sr.
Bush Sr. And then, was it Bob Dole?
Maybe.
Bob Dobelina, Mr. Bob Dobelina. And then, Bob Dole sounds like another person as well. I think it's someone like that.
Dog roll.
Then it was Al Gore versus
Bush Jr.
Bush Jr. was a very controversial election there.
That's right. The old voting machines in Florida.
And then after that, it was Bush versus Kerry. It was another very close election. Bush definitely won that one. And then we had Obama versus McCain. Obama versus, what's his name?
Romney?
Romney, correct.
That's a kind of sheep, isn't it? A Romney?
I didn't know that.
There might be.
He's a real New Zealander, ladies and gentlemen. He knows his sheep.
Love a good sheep.
And then it was...
They may not love me.
Why are people are watching this going, why?
These guys have been singing some shit, and now they're talking about American politics. I have had enough.
Hillary Trump.
Oh, yes.
Biden Trump. And now Trump Kamala. Trump Harris. Neck and neck.
There you go.
Anyway, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I was really proud of myself that I was, because I got overly invested and too involved and too in my feelings about the whole thing in the last couple. But over the last 4 years, I've just consumed nothing. And then once Trump got assassination attempts.
Then you
I kind of clicked on it because it's just just incredible that you know,
could happen.
Almost happened, and then the algo just kept on giving me more and more.
Feed the man his political.
Now I'm all
itch.
Freaking following polls in Iowa, freaking this sort of crap, and whose gaffes are doing what, and you know what.
Well, there you go.
You know what freaking suburban white woman is voting in bloody Georgia and stuff, and you're like, oh no.
My dad's really into politics, and my brother's really into politics. I'd rather watch rugby. Pardon me.
And to be fair, like, there's a good chance next week we're here and we still don't know who the winner is the nature.
I probably won't be following it. I mean, I'll see the headline, but I won't be reading Jack.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh.
Well, that's interesting. It doesn't really affect me directly.
Hope not.
Indirectly, maybe. Whoa. But there you go.
Oh, wow.
Just me sitting in my corner watching some rugby.
Watching rugby with a Y. But you seem to have changed sets recently.
I did, yeah.
And then we finished talking about... Okay, go to... the socials are there for...
Yes. Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club. Say that three times
fast. Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club.
There you go. Look at you. You can do it.
Great people. Ballard's a cool spot, apparently. Hang out with some like-minded people. Go follow the socials at Barbell Boxing.
At Ballard Boxing.
It's there.
The link will be there. The link is more accurate than what comes out of these brains.
If you're listening to it, go check on our YouTube to see what it actually was.
If you Google it, it'll be there.
Yeah.
People know how to use Google.
Exactly. You know how to Google something.
Yeah.
We're not teaching you anything. But yeah, thank you very much to Nate for the beers. Appreciate you, man. Cheers to you, brother. Thank you, mate.
Much appreciated.
Mm. That's why we're wearing these t-shirts.
Yes.
Go buy some merch.
It's pretty good merch. It's a comfortable t-shirt. I've been wearing it all day.
Have you really?
Yep.
Thought you were a bit wafty. You're not lofty, by the way. Anyway, should we finally... I've been noticing doing our timestamps.
It's getting later and later. Jesus.
And we actually got rugby to talk about this week. Next week
we're going to be overloaded. There's going to be no time for no small talk. Next week. The small talk is going to be France against Japan.
France versus Japan on next week. There you go. Okay. The All Blacks played England in the weekend, I believe. Did you watch it?
I did.
So did I.
Got up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I hate waking up at 4 in the morning. It's not. When I was a kid, it was kind of special and exciting. Yep. Now it's just a
ball. It's just unpleasant.
It's just not nice. You need your sleep.
Yes. Anyway. I've tried going to bed earlier, but it doesn't work because my body's just like, nah, it's not bedtime yet, mate.
4 in the morning watching a game is just kind of shit because you can't really go back to bed after the game is over. It's coming up to 6 in the morning and it's like...
Time to get up, mother trucker.
Yeah, my daughter caught the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And like... Well, no, actually more than that. Probably like the last 20 minutes of the game and was not...
What'd you think of George Ford?
She was trying to... She had her head headphones on watching my laptop trying to watch Little Lunch.
What's Little... I don't want to know.
On Netflix. Okay. And she was like... And every time she spoke... the headphones would stop working, so it was the only time I've ever seen her shut up.
Oh wow, that's a good incentive to keep her focused on the show.
Yeah.
We did win 24-22. There's another close result between us and England. There's not much between us at the minute.
Well, the difference is we've won three games 3-0. All the talk after the game has been that England should have won it. They feel really aggrieved that this is the one that kind of
my dad doesn't
them.
Think so. My dad was just like, 3 tries to 1, you.
It's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
They never looked like scoring apart from that intercept try.
That's true.
They had us under immense amounts of pressure in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming at the line with real physicality, doing those...
Their line speed was very, very impressive.
Even when they were attacking us, their like late hands at the line, like they were not... They were wanting to play, you know, in our faces. They played well, but they just didn't look like... I thought our defense was really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, our discipline was poor, but we defended really, really well. We had good attitude and showed up in D and didn't let them get through. And Marcus Smith looked like a threat. Foboso, is that his name?
Foboso,
he's quality.
He's
a bit scary. He had a couple of nice runs. But other than that, there were a few runs that put dents in us, but nothing other than...
Nothing really looked like game-breaking.
Nothing in big open space for them, you know, as opposed to what we were able to do. And it wasn't a good night for Genge. Did you notice
that? No, he got skinned a couple of times.
Yeah, he got both of the tries in the first half. He got skinned by, and you can't.
I mean, to be fair, I think, understand both I think them. The one on the wing where Satiti threw that nice offload.
Keep talking.
Okay. It doesn't. It's one of the English guys bites in, so he kind of leaves Genji in the lurch.
Which try was that?
The Satiti offload on the wing to Talia. Yeah. Like, is it Furbank bites in? So there's two guys on Satiti. Yeah. So then Genji's like, oh shit, I've got
to
run.
So he had to go around him, but then he kind of hesitates because he's almost like worried that Talia could cut on the inside.
Yeah.
And it just shows him, shows him too much of the outside and he just does his little stutter step. Yeah. And he's just so elusive.
Yeah.
He's just like he's a perplexing thing guy to watch because you don't think of him as like a huge, big, physical player, but he's just so hard to bring down.
Yep.
Like what he did to George Ford, he made George Ford look so foolish in that.
Yeah,
the final try, which was the crucial try. But yeah, the Genge try where Will Jordan just cut inside him as well.
Yeah.
You can kind of forgive a prop.
He's never going to be able to cover that space, is he?
Yeah. He was pulled across by Bodie. It was very well done to be able to isolate him as a player in the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't enough cover there. And he's got those jet shoes.
That's right. Jordan. He needs half a gap and he's gone.
Lovely couple of tries. Like, we were clinical in our putting away our opportunities, I thought. Like,
we didn't have many opportunities that we butchered. I feel like we had a lot of errors, but it wasn't like in other games this year we've had chances where it's like, oh, geez, we should have scored there.
Whereas
we didn't really have a heck of a lot of those. Maybe one?
It felt like a classic New Zealand performance where we don't play well, but we still win.
Mm.
As opposed to like when in South Africa where we played really well, but didn't.
Still managed to lose it.
Didn't have the bottle to put it together. So the scraps that they did get, they did bloody well in being able to convert into real points and garner some sort of scoreboard pressure.
Yeah, if we're better on the penalty count in that game, we win it by more than a score, for sure.
I think a big part of the reason that would like to give credit to England, a big part of why the penalty count was so bad was the physicality and defense, was also the attacking intensity that they played with. The fact that we were having to tackle so many people off the ball, because they had so many decoy runners at the line that were real threats, we were just taking everybody
else. Just tackle them.
Just tackle everybody.
Some of them I was like, oh, these guys in front of the ball carrier, other ones, it was just like, don't tackle them there. Yeah, what are you doing?
There were a couple I was like, isn't that obstruction?
Pretty marginal, yeah.
You know, like, but then once Angus got the bit between his teeth in terms of looking for that,
it was on.
It was on, you know. And you've got to, that's part of the, you know, being a good team is understanding what the referee is looking for, and he certainly was looking for
adapting to the referee is 100% a skill that teams need to be able to
do. We did not do that.
Like, I don't know, people always go on about the referee. Oh, the referee was doing this, the referee was doing that. Well, the teams need to adapt. Like, if the referee is calling the breakdown differently from other referees, you're not, you know, like, chances of you getting him to change what he's doing compared to chances of you changing your behavior. You know, you go with the latter. That's been rugby for as long as I can remember. So.
Yeah. And that's on the team to be able to work that out, eh?
Yeah.
But you've got to give credit to England for being able to play with that intensity, put us under that pressure, put us in positions to make bad decisions, not give us time to have clarity. Sometimes we were going
backwards on attack, man. Like, it was quite troubling to see us just get tackled behind the gain line.
Yeah.
But then other times we would put the kicking game to use pretty well. Like, we'd find space, we'd put little dinking kicks through. Because, I mean, if the guys are going to be rushing up, there's absolutely going to be space there. 100%. And we were able to get that space going more than once, which was kind of pleasing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you've seen All Blacks teams in the past kind of falter under that relentless pressure. But they seemed to, like, especially in the first half, seemed to deal with it not too bad. Second half, our lineout started to go to shit, and then we kept dropping the freaking ball.
Yeah, I thought, I was thinking, that was my first concern when Cody Taylor,
I was like, no, our lineout's going to be fucked.
He pulled a few together.
The first half, it was like, okay, no, the lineout's it's going all right.
And we were playing to the front of the lineout and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of occasions where we, you know, got penalties, and we were right up, you know, near the 10-meter, near the 5-meter. And we do a bloody complicated move where there's freaking eight people running around in circles.
Yep.
And then just completely butcher the
Sometimes
throw,
you can
like,
see it,
why?
Eh? You can see our boy standing there holding the ball, and you can see them like, boop-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, like a little dummy thingy back and forth. And then you can just see Maro looking at you like, nah.
Yeah.
I've got you.
Yeah, Maro.
And then, like, they'll throw it way to the back, and it'll be like, off, not straight, or go to England player. And
man,
like,
if they pull it off, we sit here and go, well, wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, but exactly.
Maybe the percentage play is I think at any time where we had managed to put phases together within their 22, we scored. We generally scored in that game. We didn't actually spend a huge amount of time in their 22. I don't have the exact stats, but we did make them pay. So we should probably just back our basic skills.
Mm.
You know, what's wrong with a driving maul as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Can do that. But so I thought that was fine. But there was a period, the big work ons for us are like discipline, ball handling.
Yeah, man, we dropped a lot of, like, sometimes it was like, hey, we're getting ready to vote 22 and chuck a crazy offload. Yeah. Oh, it's forward and he's knocked it off.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought we were behind in doing that kind of stuff. I was just like, we're we're cooked. Like, yeah, we're not going to win this. We are faltering.
Yeah, I really thought we were going to lose that game. Like, considering this team's record this year.
Yeah, we scored the second try in the first half, and I was like, right, I think we're doing okay.
Yeah.
We've had the rugby championship under our belt. England are still behind us in match prep. That's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah.
Attacking-wise, we are going to win.
Yeah.
We're going to score tries. They're going to kick penalties. Tries are worth more. We're going to win.
Yeah.
And then by the second half, when we just were making those errors, the lineout was crap.
Rashima throws that bad pass.
Yeah, exactly. The intercept, and it was like, ooh.
Yeah.
This is going up.
And then we just seemed to, we had a real bad 20 minutes after that.
Yeah.
Which wasn't great.
Yeah. England looked pretty much in control.
Although, like, just to, we'll talk about England in a second, but just standout performance of the All Blacks, you can't go past the TT.
Amazing.
Just, he looks, I thought Rian Lewis said, you know, maybe filled my heart with joy, said, Satiti is every inch a 100 kappa, and I'm going to hate him by the end of this. Love it.
Like, he spoke really well when he got man of the match as well.
He's a sharp cat.
He is really sharp, yeah. And it's funny, someone else pointed in one of the comments, like, isn't it funny how, like, only a few months ago, we were like lambasting Razor for saying, how can you leave out Hoskins and pick this guy? But I mean, honestly, I don't think that even the All Blacks coaches could have foreseen this like level that he's hit the game.
I he played really, really, what are you looking at?
There's two flashing lights on the thing.
There always is.
Oh, okay.
I think there always is. If you're not watching this, you know why.
Okay.
That makes zero sense.
Maybe it's audio only this week.
What was I talking about? Oh yeah, so I thought that, like, I'm happy with him being in the team. He played an incredible semi-final he played great in the final series of Super Rugby.
Right.
Like, incredibly well. Like, yep. we were like, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
Like, that is some disgusting head you've just
put. No, you got to get the big head so you don't get the gas.
Show them.
Big head, no gas.
Show them.
Big head, no gas.
Is that too much? Okay. Speaking of which, feel a bit gassy.
Yeah, gassy.
God, I completely lose my train of thought here. So he played really well during the final series, and you're like, shit, this guy looks amazing. But it was like, do you pick Satiti or Satutu? Satutu had played incredibly well the whole of Super Rugby and played amazing through the Super Finals.
Yeah.
Outplayed Satiti in the final.
That's true.
Was probably the most unlucky player. It got named. It was so good. He got named player of the season for Super Rugby. Did not make an international squad out of it. But the player that I would have, like, Blackadder is a great player.
Right.
But I think that he's the player that was lucky, to be honest with you. Satiti, Satutu.
Different kind of player, though.
This is what I want to see. I want to see Satiti at 6, Satutu at 8, and Ardy at 7.
So the three S's. Satiti, Satutu, Savia.
Yeah.
No, I love it.
Yeah. Would you feel pretty comfortable with them going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Attacking minded side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ardy can get through some tackles.
Ardy can just be a workhorse, tackle, a bit of X factor in there when you need to. Satiti is just an all round
freak. And Satiti gets through heaps of tackles as well.
Satutu's just his passing ability, his ability to score tries close to the line, like, still too much head.
I don't want to be gassy.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be amazing. Really, really good. But does Satutu ever get a good red hot crack? Never.
Maybe for England.
Ooh, shots. He's very, very good. And we don't know what kind of year Satutu would have had when he went into the All Blacks.
That's right.
If he got put in, we could be seeing him sitting here going,
oh man, he's not lived up to the billing from Super Rugby. Or far out, isn't he amazing?
He's the best player in the world. I know. He was having that kind of year. Yep. Anyway, we don't know. The big one of the shames for Satiti, though, was, like, obviously new to the squad, kind of scraped in as the, you know, toss up between him and Satiti.
And he was behind
Blackadder?
Finau in terms of the number 6 jersey.
Yeah, which seems incredible now.
Yeah, and exactly. Because Finau against England over here was really quiet.
Satiti played none of the England games before.
That's right, yeah.
And he didn't play South Africa.
Did he not?
No, he wasn't in those games. Okay. He was Blackadder. He would have. He's a test match All Black ready for the South African team. He's tasty. Anyway, Paddy Two Pipes made some
very good impact from the bench.
Thought Vai was not his greatest game. He looked like he was carrying some sort of injury.
Came off pretty early injured. Scooter got there a heap of tackles, but I still wish he would manage the referee better. Because if we're giving away constant penalties for tackling off the ball, I don't know if he said it, because it certainly didn't pick up on the microphone. You absolutely need to be telling the ref, these guys are running obstruction lines.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, can you keep an eye out for that?
Please keep an eye out for that. You do it in that polite, like Jamie George was doing it quite well. Like, oh, can you look out for this? Can you look out for that? Like,
and I'll look for that. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like, they can have a respectful dialogue around that. It's kind of the
It's
the captain's job to be the advocate for the team. For the team.
Exactly. Plant those seeds just to keep the referee mindful of stuff.
I think he's like a physical leader in the team. I did think it was an odd choice for captain. Like, he's a great player. I thought he actually was. This was one of his better games.
For season. For sure. He had a heap of tackles.
Yeah, he was a workhorse.
Really workhorse stuff.
But he's, in terms of like what his communication skills with the referee, and also just around the periphery. I know it doesn't matter, but I find him to be a particularly uninspiring post match interview as well. It's like you don't get much from him. It's just. That should have nothing to do with anything, but
no,
it doesn't. Like, when then you hear Satiti speak and you're like,
wow, isn't he?
Yeah.
What a lad!
What a lad! Hell of a podcast, that, but
I'll admit, I started watching the Christian Cullen episode today.
Oh, yeah,
was it good? And he put a mid roll ad within like 30 seconds of the thing, and I was like, fuck you, I'm turning it off.
Really?
Yeah, I can handle mid roll ads, but you can't do it in like the first minute.
So that is better head.
This guy's going to be burping all the way to the bank.
But at least, look, you had to be so patient for yours.
Yeah, I'm a patient guy.
So when I pull yours, you're like, oh, God.
I don't mind. Don't complain. I'm not a complainer.
All right. Okay, well.
So the TT was good.
The TT was good.
Talia was good.
Tupo was good.
Paddy Tupo. Taniela Tupo, please, for the Wallabies.
Paddy Two Pipes. Tupolotu?
Patrick Tupolotu.
Yeah, he was good. Fantastic. It was good to actually see real impact from the bench.
The scrum impact.
It was much better afterwards.
Yeah, or is that about us or is that about them?
Bit of both.
Yeah.
Bit of both. I thought the English definitely had the advantage in the first half.
Both our props got pinged. Both Lomax and Williams got pinged.
I think there was a bit of scrum, rather than just power on power, I think there was just a bit of scrum craft going on.
Yeah, one of them was like losing his bind or something like that. So
just pulling back slightly to get Williams on his face.
But then that went to be an error shing. That's good because the All Blacks this season have struggled with the bench impact. It's been like this. The squad has dropped a level when we've brought the bench on rather than... You know, that being the part that's the difference maker in the game. Whereas it was for England, you could argue...
Who came off the bench? We got... Roygaard played well when he came off the bench. I thought it was not Cortez's finest game.
No.
With the intercept pass there as well. And
just wasn't as quick as he usually is, I felt.
Snappy. Yeah, that's the
best thing about his game is that, especially when you're up against a blitz defense, as you want...
Bum, bum, bum.
You know, I don't think he was quite there.
Yeah, I thought, Roygaard played well when he came on. I think there was a...
Fino, I think, only got a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
The front rowers were Omoa, obviously got the majority of the game.
Omoa played pretty well.
Around the park, he was all right.
He absolutely folded Fabioso as well at one stage.
Fabioso?
It's that guy from all those romantic novels.
Fabio, I can't believe it's not better.
Say his name properly.
Oh, Faye Wabosa. I genuinely didn't know what you're talking about.
Faye Yewobosa.
It's the first name. It's a double barrel surname. F-E-Y-I, Faye.
Faye.
And then hyphen.
Yeah.
Wabosa. W-A-B-O-S-O.
Faye Wabosa.
There you go. Not Fabio. Fabio did have a great head of hair.
Faye Wabosa. So Faye Wabosa. I thought he was great. He's
Fabio's.
Yeah, he is... no, they're not.
Analytics around our age? Okay.
Dickheads our age watching dickheads like us, which, hello, dickheads, we appreciate you. And because they are, because they won chance, they can understand, they don't really mind being called a dickhead. They're like, I get it.
Not offended.
He's a great player, though. He is.
Fabio Bosso, for sure.
He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. He's their best outside back for my money.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Smith, mate.
He was really good.
Why did they take him off?
I don't know. Their bench was weird.
Yeah.
Like two backs, a halfback, and a guy who pretty much just plays 10.
Yeah.
In George Ford, who's coming back from injury and has had virtually no gay time. Gay time? Well, he may have been having a gay old time.
I happen to know for a fact he has some gay time now.
I talk words for a living. Game time.
He said no gay time. Oh, God, poor guy.
Do you remember gay time ice cream cones?
Ice cream cones, yeah, I do.
Brand of ice cream cones here. Okay, sorry, gay time. It's a gay old time having some ice cream cones. Right. What's the show that's like, we have a gay
The Flintstones.
Old? Oh, it's the Flintstones, okay.
Yeah.
Another oldie.
We'll have a gay time. No, we'll have a good
time. Gay old time.
We'll have a gay old time.
That's the one.
Okay. Anyway.
Right, George Ford, who's had virtually no game time.
Just stop it. Okay. He said, yeah.
He's a specialist 10. Like, usually you go 6-2 split, you're picking Franstein, who plays, you know, 10, 12, 13, wing, fullback. In defense of
Borthwick, you're like, okay, we're up by 8 points. We just need to maintain this. We need to kick our goals.
Yes, George Ford is the guy who kicks the goals. He makes smart decisions. He dropped goals like a mother trucker because he did that against Argentina World Cup. You know, won the game.
Seems
with
like
goals.
A sensible decision, but to me, sure. But to me, it lacks game sense in the game itself.
Right.
The fact that you've got Marcus Smith, who can be hot or cold.
Yep.
And he's hot right now.
Right.
And you've got to make the most of him when he's hot.
Right.
He's still your player. He's cooking well off the boot.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really assured off the tee. He did a couple of terrible drop kicks. He shanked a couple.
Yeah, he did.
Really got them off the hosel. And he looks like he's asking probing questions in attack.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably looking like the only player other than Fahey Wahbozo. That could break the line, could create a try-scoring opportunity, and isn't looking like he's going to miss any goal kicks. So
Right. Is
that the... Maybe it's just like, you know, Ford, you're probably good right now, but actually I feel really comfortable with...
You don't have to use your subs.
Yeah, and you don't know...
I do find it weird that coaches still sometimes leave their subs on, the bench the whole game, because the way the game is played now... It's a 23-man game. But yeah, you're right. You don't have to.
And you know that Marcus is playing well, but you don't know what Ford's going to do when he comes on.
Mm.
It was unlikely that Marcus was going to completely shit the bed after that.
Mm.
But Ford, you know, there's still a chance that maybe he turns up without his kicking boots on.
He's coming in cold.
And he didn't turn up with his kicking boots and missed a crucial tackle. So if we count that...
Yeah, missed the tackle, hit the post, missed the drop goal.
So
I mean, the drop goal, I feel a little bit sorry for him because the pass was like here. So he had to take it. You know, you want that pass on the money.
Yeah, that sucks, but probably should still kick it.
Yeah.
If you want to be really, really, really critical, he had a 13-point negative points...
Impact.
He
7 points for the All Blacks try and then 2 missed kicks.
Yeah.
In a game, plus 6 is 13.
So he, like, and everyone has their bad days, but when your 10, who is your mercurial talent, who can either be off or on, is on.
Let him do his thing.
Yeah. Let him close out the game. He looked like he had the bit between his teeth and it was personal. It was like, shit, I want to get one over these lads.
Yeah.
Let him get on with the job.
Speaking of mercurial talents, how about Damian McKenzie with that sideline conversion?
Holy shit. Balls of steel.
I looked at that and I was like, surely
big
not.
Big old meaty things. And he's got a natural draw on his kick, right? So, like...
That's the hard side for him to kick it from.
That's the toughest. So he had to kick it dead straight. You know, like, he doesn't kick with a fade. So, his natural thing is just to always draw it past that left post.
Yeah.
No, but he's been kicking really well in Super Rugby all year. So, yeah, just
but
to get it.
This
it just
felt like, as an All Blacks fan, this felt like a kick that we don't usually get. Like, if you're a South African fan, Andre Pollard's lining that up, you're probably thinking, he's probably going to get this.
Yeah.
But as an All Blacks fan over the years, that's like you're thinking, we're going to score a try here. You're not necessarily thinking, we're going to score a clutch conversion from the sideline.
Mwanga had a kick like that to win us the World Cup last year.
Jordy Barrett had one from a penalty as well. Not the same angle, but yeah. That's what I mean. Like the clutch kick to win the game is not something the All Blacks have had as an area of strength for a while.
So that was amazing. We didn't miss a single kick.
No.
And we've got a couple of kicks on the sideline.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So I can totally understand why they feel aggrieved that they lost. Okay, shall we talk about two things? ALB and also my disagreement with you around...
ALB got himself kind of double yellows.
that was unfortunate.
Did he get the second one because he was just like half unconscious?
Maybe.
Yeah.
He was concussed.
He was just like, England tech. Player. And yeah. Just tackle. That was the worst one of the off-the-ball tackles.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know if he got off-field riff cutted?
I never saw. Cutted? Never saw.
So we don't... Yeah.
Surely he's concussed.
I don't think it would. I think there's definitely medication.
Medication. Yeah. There is something for that.
Paracetamol. Mitigation. Cookies. The fact he was going down. He was going down on his cock and gave him a big old blowy. What? What do you think I'm going to say? He was falling. The other player was falling. And he was falling into him, went low, had in low body position, and got a hold of that cock and just milked it dry. Okay, get your composure.
Okay, quickies.
Okay, why are you sipping so loudly? Okay, you give me your take on that because you can't handle.
Yeah, there's medication for that one. No, it didn't look the most egregious of high shots that you've ever seen.
Two yellow cards in 30 seconds. Yeah,
that's a pretty good record.
The lucky thing that we had was it wasn't like we got two players off. It was like,
that's the thing. As soon as I saw the TMO go back for the other one, I was like, oh, it's ALB as well. It's going to be fine. Yeah, they can't yellow card him twice.
I was almost like, can we just move on? It doesn't matter. Like, do we have to look at
it? He's already going
to
get yellow card.
There's 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Like, does it really matter?
Yeah. Because I think that would have been, like, that would have been just two yellow cards. It would have been another 13.
Yeah.
If they're down to 13, do England go for the corner or still go for the penalty?
Probably still go for the penalty.
Right.
Try and win the game.
So we still win it.
We still win it. Unless they... unless they score a try, from a two-man overlap or something like that.
There you go.
Hell of a exciting, enthralling, engaging.
You didn't like the Caleb Clark yellow card?
No.
Not yellow card, penalty only, sorry. No. He wasn't yellow card.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I accept it 100% that's a penalty offense every day of the week, the way they adjudicate it.
Yes.
I saw on your video after the game, you were like, that was the most deliberate of all deliberate knockdowns I've ever seen. And I was like, it was just another one of those women.
That wording's probably not right. I didn't mean like he freaking slapped
it.
It
wasn't like
it.
Just seeing it.
Because you never see those.
The big thing you get told day one of defense is when your defender's coming at you, put your arms out wide, make yourself big, and keep your eye on your opponent, And he does all that. And never looks at the ball. He's always got his... can't remember the name of the player and who he's tackling here, who he knocks it down, who he knocks it on.
Mind is blank as well.
He's looking in there. He's got his wingspan out, and he throws the pass, and it hits his hand, and it goes down.
Yeah.
Okay, the way it gets adjudicated every day of the week, they call that a deliberate knock-on.
Yes. So... correct. As soon as I saw it, even though we went off and scored a try, I knew. Correct. I was like, they're going back for that.
Correct call.
That's kind of what made. I meant. Like, I knew they're going back for it.
But it wasn't like the most, like, he's looking at it.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't.
The way you said it, he was looking at it. Like, his eyes are just that. So when I was one of those aggrieved viewers of a YouTube video going, this guy's full of shit. But there I was talking about you. I was like, nah, that's
I do feel
true.
Like his attempt to go for the tackle after he'd already whacked it with his hand was a bit of like trying to make himself look innocent.
The big question I have around it, though, okay, yes, it's a penalty, right? And you will say,
and that's all it was, which I was a little bit surprised about. Like the two calls, that one I thought if they'd given it a yellow card, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
And the other one was Ben Earl, the no arms tackle. I was like, holy fuck, that's
the sad thing was
that's dangerous.
Caleb Clark did the best thing he did the whole game, was making that great break and a great ball inside to Bodie. But the question I have was, an advantage was played, advantage was gone. The All Blacks had another phase, and then we scored a try. Three phases after the incident. I thought there was a big thing around there can't be more than two phases. Like once there's more than two phases gone, you can't go back to look at anything.
I will admit I can't remember if they've kept that one up or not. There's so many law changes.
I think they have. Like I thought, really? Yeah, after the World Cup because they went because you know how there was that
right big stink about on. Just let them play.
That minor knock on. They said, they got the right call, but technically they shouldn't have gone back that many phases. And we were like, things we should have known during the game. Mm. So yeah, like technically. Right call, technically, should have stood at the same time, technically.
Caleb Clark's been pinged for a few times doing that, though.
Who's that?
Caleb Clark.
Yeah, big old wingspan.
I don't know, he's got to do something about that.
Yeah.
That might have been why I was so frustrated with him as well.
Maybe.
But we still won.
We won the game. Yeah, and that was a great thing, because I had this sort of sinking feeling of doom going, oh, this All Black team doesn't win these games.
Yeah.
You know, being behind. There was a real, real crucial moment in the game that I think kind of, when D-Mac first came on, Ben Earls does a tackle. Itoje, who I thought was massive, gets a turnover.
This is the no-arms tackle from Earl.
Bodie comes up. In an offside, breaking the line too early, gets pinged for offside, penalty to England.
But then it gets reversed for
then
the
it gets reversed arms. And we get the 3 points and that gets us back into the game. If that penalty, if that doesn't get paid, if Ben Earls doesn't do that,
that's dumb as dog shit. That one
so dumb.
So then he was like, "Meh, I thank you, meh."
He fully just leaned in.
I literally saw him go like, "Meh, meh." That was a meh.
You sound like that chef character from The Muppets. Swedish
chef.
Terrible.
England fans would have been tearing their hair out with that one. Because if Ben Earls really good, but he's each game he's got one real dumb thing in him.
He does. That was really, really dumb. I think that kind of cost him the game, to be honest with you. Like... because then we were able to get ourselves into a position to draw it back or take the lead.
Mm.
We had momentum after that. Like that penalty is huge. They kicked that downtown, put a lot more pressure on us, maybe get another penalty, like game over.
Pretty much.
Or just managed to spend enough time down there, milk just down
that,
the clock.
That penalty put us within striking distance.
Yeah, that was a really, really, really massive moment in the game.
What do you think of the haka?
We had a bit of heat, but a heat to it. I thought Cody Taylor led it pretty well. Who's going to lead it next week? He's out.
I think it's in Ireland. We've got to let Rico lead it.
Oh, he's a Māori boy.
That'll be tasty.
Oh yeah.
That'll be so great. I want to see that. I want to see that so much.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, what did you make of all the hoo-ha about that prior to the game?
Well, I saw some...
And it's like one of those things that comes... You can basically, like... People talk about it like a bingo card. Yeah. All Blacks to go to the Northern Hemisphere. Is it going to be someone saying the haka needs to go? Is it going to be imported players? Yeah. Is it going to be...
All of which are bullshit.
Yeah.
I caught a podcast called the Paper Rugby Podcast.
That's English?
Yeah, it's English. Okay. And it's by these... I think they're journalists.
Journalists, yeah. I think I know that one. I think
they're journalists. And they brought it up, and they all go, "Oh!" Well, one of them, two of them are like, "Ah, oh, it's ridiculous! It's a bloody show pony dance! It's complete the total English pompous prickery." And he was just saying, "There are so bloody pressures about it. You can't respond. You have to face it, and all that sort of thing." And they were like, and the other gentlemen were like, "Oh yeah, so I think for some people they enjoy the spectacle, but it's a bit of a hoo-ha. I don't need to see it." And you should be able to just to go warm up if you like and all this sort of thing. And yes, they are a bit precious about it and all this sort of shit. And like, you can do whatever you like.
Yeah.
You don't, it's none of what is stipulated on the way you have to respond.
I literally did a video on it. World's Rugby's rules is like, it is not mandatory to accept.
Can go freaking scratch your own nuts in the corner. Like, you can go take a mandatory piss break. You can do whatever the hell you want. You don't have to sit there and face it.
Teams have done it in the past. The Aussies once did warm-up drills. And then they got hammered.
They did. Athletic Park.
Yes.
1996. Great game. In the wet. Oof. Christian Cullen, Jonah Lomu, Zinzan Brook.
Maybe that's why they got hammered.
Yeah, some good players. Malta Little, Frank Dunst.
John Eels, though. Good Aussie team, too.
Very good Aussie team. But, yeah, so they were just basically saying that the All Blacks are just so precious about it and don't let you do all this. Thing. It's all by World Rugby, which are all basically the English RFU, who are the main controllers. Of, they're the ones who stipulated all the rules around it. You can do whatever the hell you want. Like, face it, don't face it, do whatever you like. Mm. It means a lot to us as New Zealanders. I think a lot of people, like, my partner is Malaysian. The only part of an All Black game she'll watch is the haka.
My wife is the same.
Yeah, she's like, oh,
is haka. I looked at World Rugby's most viewed videos, and like 7 of the top 10 are all hakas.
Mm.
And the top one is like 79 million. The next one's like not even 20 million. Like, it is stupid how many people...
Yeah.
Just like watching it's the haka.
It's huge.
Because I did a video about it, and there were literally, because I mentioned in the video that there will be some people who only got into rugby because of haka.
Yeah.
There were some people who were like, yeah, I'm that guy. I never knew anything about rugby, but then I saw the haka and it got me into it. So even if you hate the haka, if you think, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense, think it's one of those things that's good for the game.
It gets
more people into the game.
There was about 500 views on this video, by the way. And I, not to throw shade, 500 views is fine. If you're one of those 500 people, that's great. But I think there were 2 comments, and I commented on it. And I just wrote, "Wholly uninformed opinions, Batman."
There you go.
And I thought to myself,
yeah, there were a lot of people who don't like the haka who came onto my video. I feel like the most people who like the haka aren't going to go onto a haka video and be like, I love it. Well, some people did, but anyone who hates it is like, fuck the haka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm you primitive bastards. Yeah, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's just some awful shit. It brings out the worst in some people.
It does really bring out the worst in a lot of people.
Nah. Oh, well.
But I don't care if you don't like it.
You should come across a little bit, I think.
I don't care if people don't like it.
Neither do I.
But I think it's good for the game.
Yeah.
And that haka was great.
What's good for the geese is good for the gander. What is the gander, by the way?
Isn't it a male goose?
Or is a gander the group of geese? Or is it a male? Is it a male?
I'm
going
to say it's male goose.
Oh, there was a sound then. Did you hear that?
That's the goose. Okay. But no, the way that the both sides. I think the All Blacks should get fined though.
Oh yeah, it was cool.
Because we... No, should we get fined?
Yeah, it was cool.
Because we crossed the line.
It was cool.
Yeah, we're not supposed to do that. But they fined the English for that back in the day. And that's one of those ones that spreads that rumor like, oh, England got fined for like forming a V.
Yeah, it's
no,
like...
Nobody gives a toss what letter you form. The Irish did a number 8 once and nobody fined them.
Yeah, was it an affinity symbol or something?
It was a number 8 for Anthony Foley.
And they lost that game.
They did, but... yeah, this is where about where you stand. That's the only rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you stand. You can stand here, you got to stand there. Everything else is pretty much fair game.
Exactly. And I don't mind if you want to get fined, step across the line.
Yeah, there you go.
Cop a fine.
There you go. And the other one is a Kiwi that kind of grinds my gears a little bit, is nobody gives a shit about the Tongan, Samoan, Fijian, or Madagascan ones. It's only our one.
Yeah.
Why is it only us?
What, only us that we get the...
Like, oh, they should be banned.
Or the foreign players.
No, like in terms of like the Fijians do the Sivitau, the Samoans
we're the best team.
I mean, our one does take longer, I admit. I think if we timed the haka from like 1995 until now, it's gotten a lot longer.
Like, I do get a little bit fed up with the preamble, with the how long it takes to get on with the game. They've made it
more theatrical.
But hey, well, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The one that gets me that I'm like, and I think it's so great that it gets done, and I support it 100% culturally. And as somebody who's spent a fair bit of time in Australia, never understood why Indigenous Australians, you know, have, you know, such a tough time over there, and they comparatively to Māori in New Zealand, it's not even comparable in terms of, you know, their stake in society or their standing.
The call to country.
Yeah, the call to country. It's great that they do it, but by God, it's boring. Oh God, it's just...
It's not a spectacle, is it?
It's not a spectacle, and it's like... I find it so difficult to get through the call to country. Like, I think it's great. It's great that it's done. Yes. But just in terms of me being a New Zealander watching it, I'm just like, Oh, like it's it is for kind every of bloody Australian some, sporting event. I have to sit there for 5 minutes listening to
some countries which have
chat
a
in English.
Yeah,
you know, like
some countries which have a royal family, like the Japanese do.
Oh,
it.
That was
they'll send out like the princess or the prince or someone to shake everyone's hand. That is equally dull.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't submit you to that here in New Zealand. Like, we'll do a haka, but we won't submit you to a royal family member coming out and shaking everybody's hand. I know Japan and
I want to spend 4 minutes
watching them. Like,
it was cool when Nelson Mandela counted 95 right. because it was Nelson Mandela.
That's true.
Or in, like, Queen Elizabeth in the 91 World Cup. It's the freaking Queen, that's mother true. Trucker. You know, maybe King Chucky coming on out.
I wouldn't say minus a bit of Chuck.
Chuckster.
Just shake both the captain's hands.
Yeah, I've told you I've met Chuckster, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
No, we need to. I think I flashed up the photo in there once. What is a podcast? I don't know if you believed me and then I had to show you the photo.
Okay, I probably believed you. Why would you lie about a thing like that?
I don't know. You didn't believe me when I told you I got engaged. You said, fuck off, you did it.
That's true, because I didn't believe that was possible.
And one day I said I went to the gym and you went, bullshit. I know it doesn't look like it.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
A bit of a prick sometimes. We've talked about this game a lot.
Oh, have we? Yeah. We've got other games. How are we going to do this next week? Because we've been on such a low calorie diet of rugby to talk about the last week.
We're just like, Test match rugby.
Yeah.
The freaking Cookie Monster.
Yeah, exactly. I still think there's still things I could talk about the game. But okay, should we move on? Scotland versus
Fiji. 57-17.
A bit disappointing, really.
It was more or less the URC against Super Rugby. It was the Drua. I think only one of the Fiji squad wasn't a Drua player.
Right.
And then for the Scottish guys, it was all Edinburgh and Glasgow, except for one guy who's plays for the Sharks.
I think they underperformed the Fijians.
They started like they weren't even
so
there.
So poorly. They just... That's the thing, right? Like, when teams go to the... High-quality teams go to Suva or Nandi or wherever they go to play the games, and they play in 36-degree temperatures... Mm-hmm. The Fijians just look incredible. They have that crowd.
This is true.
I would love to see the reverse of that game.
I feel like we can't underestimate the Fijian Drua in Super Rugby have a phenomenal record at home.
Yeah.
Not that many. I mean, it's not impeccable, but not that many teams go there and win. The Crusaders have certainly been beaten there at least a couple of times. Yeah. So it is genuinely a hard place to go.
Yeah. They play on a bloody road.
Playing at Murray Field is... somewhat different from playing in Fiji.
Freezing.
Was it freezing? It seemed all right for Scotland.
It wasn't raining, but I bet it was cold.
Comparatively to Suva. Yeah.
They had the British Open there in the middle of summer and they were all rugged up like it was the middle of winter.
Mm.
It's cold.
Okay.
Well,
I've never been.
My cousin did a marathon in Edinburgh once and he said it was stinking hot today.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. And he showed me photos and it looked like...
Did he have any iron brew?
Iron brew?
Yeah.
Didn't ask him.
Okay.
Bernard, did you have any iron brew? He sometimes watches the podcast. Yeah. He does.
Maybe he should sponsor us.
yeah, he should. He works for a wine company. So they're drinking on some wine.
But Fiji started slowly.
They did not start well. And then just as you thought, oh, shit, they could make this interesting, they came back into the game.
Kyle Rowe scored, Darcy Graham got a couple, Hugh Jones got one, and you were like, oh, this is terrible. It's like 29-0 or something.
And then they didn't score for another 35 minutes.
Fiji scored three tries, and in that time, Scotland had one penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ravula got one, Darren Lungi got one, and Ikan Averi got one of the tries at the bench.
Yeah.
That line-out move, back to the hooker, Hooker's running down the wing. Usually someone tackles him in a touch, but he just gives Darcy Graham a wee show and go.
A little show and go.
And he's just like, I'm just going to go 20 metres for a try. That was fantastic.
And you just sort of, shit, could we see something interesting?
Yeah, like, oh, one more try and they're about to mount.
And then it was just, they kind of took their souls from there and then just one-way traffic till the end of the game.
Yeah, two and Vandermeer got one. Darcy Graham ended up with four. Adam Hastings got a couple of assists.
real disappointing. You want to see something decent out of that fixture.
57-70, there's not a lot to say about it because it was just so emphatic.
Yeah, think about like
all the tries
Fiji, from... Fiji made the quarterfinals of the World Cup last year.
That's true.
So,
but again, they're missing so many guys.
Yeah, right.
I know Scotland are without some as well. Like, they've not got no Finn Russell, they've got no Blair Kinghorn, but I feel like...
Yeah. Who are Fiji playing next week?
Fiji are playing Wales, which could be quite tasty.
Have we got, they got their players back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Next week's the open, I think, a test window, so...
Okay, cool.
All the sides will have their players back.
We've been open all for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we don't have the whole thing about playing players abroad. If we allowed players like Richie Mwonga to play, he might not be available.
Well, we don't allow...
Yes, we don't. We don't, so it doesn't affect us. So us in England, that's why we're able to play each other this week. Just gone.
Do we do that a lot? Do we take advantage of this a lot?
Well, we play more games than anybody. Surely the All Blacks, the NZRU, are just like, play more games in Japan and the USA.
Yeah, let's make some monies. Okay, well, yeah, nothing else to say about that, really.
It was a hiding.
It was a pumping.
Yeah, some good nice, crowd in, nice in Murrayfield. Really yeah. Nice crowd. Darcy Graham getting
even when you're in the
sweet.
Crowd of those sort of games, you get to the point where you're like, oh,
well, they said the Mexican wave was going. So,
yeah, a shame because you kind of go, this could be a sneaky
seventh against ninth in the world.
Yeah,
like that should be better than 57-17.
Yeah, not a great effort from the
Fijians started too slowly. But credit to Scotland.
Who wins Wales Fiji next week?
Wales break their losing run. Here we go.
I'm going Fiji.
Okay. You want to talk about All Blacks 15 Munster? Because I haven't seen it, but you have.
I really, really enjoyed that game. And that's the second, a few years in a row where I've really enjoyed All Blacks 15 games. It kind of feels like it's a big occasion for the town that gets them.
Yep.
You know, the All Blacks coming to town, kind of.
What is that noise?
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds okay. Like a fan or something.
Yeah.
Computer fan? They're like the Timo version of the All Blacks, but
I bought the All Blacks squad. I wish. Let's see how well they compare to the originals. So many videos on YouTube like that. You know that? It's the fan on your laptop.
It's not my laptop.
Lydia's laptop.
No. Shush. Would you? It's really gone. Now I can't hear anything. They can't hear it. It's they don't
quite
have no
loud
idea.
Fan.
Yeah,
it's quite loud.
Anyway,
just going for goal.
Yeah, it's really going for it. Okay, I wasn't even thinking about it before you drew my attention to it. Anyway, it was a really, really fun game to watch. The Munster crowd were right into it. Munster really wanted to bring it to the All Blacks 15. The All Blacks 15 have a lot of really intriguing players that it's really fun to see them play in a more intense test match-like arena.
Yeah.
You know, packed out Munster... Some great players. You know, I thought it was good to see Finlay Christie back.
Harry Plummer,
Shooter, Ruben Love came on towards the end of the game. It was just a really, really fun game. Mm. The All Black 15 kept on keeping their nose in front throughout the game. Like, mm-hmm. But credit to Munster, they really played with a bit between their teeth and they wanted it. Mm. And they kept on coming back, kept on... it was punch and counterpunch the whole way through till the very end where who scored the final try? No, the two final tries. The last one was scored by Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
That was like an intercept try to actually make the scoreline look a little bit more flattering than it was. And
Hotham set one up.
Yeah, and then Hotham set one up for the one that was the crucial one where Munster...
Was it Tupara that got that one?
It might have been.
Was it the one before? Anyway,
so the Munster were really pushing to take the lead late in the game. Ohio made a great break. Made a great break and then got the try that kind of put it beyond doubt and then Plummer got one. They got an intercept.
Icing on the cake
kind of put salt in the wound, really. But really, really entertaining game to watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. It's a really good occasion. It was kind of funny. The commentators kept on saying there's so much history to this Munster All Black clash. You know, but they referred to the other team as the starters. And I was like, it's just a whole other team.
Mm.
Like, I know they got the All Black name, but they're the All Black 15. It's not the, they're not, but I don't know. I don't want to shit on someone's
program. No, that's right. I mean, Emerging Ireland went to South Africa a few weeks ago, and it's a similar thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, Emerging Ireland is very much like All Blacks 15.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great. They played really, really well. For a team that only been together for 10 days as well.
They did pretty well.
Yeah, they scored a couple of really tasty tries. Fihaki was good. It was Fihaki.
Oh, Fihaki scored one. Yeah.
Fihaki scored a great try. Shooter played really, really well. Naholo. Shooter did some great stuff. Naholo played really well. Brother of the other Naholo. Yeah.
Brother from the same mother.
Exactly. Genetically related. But yeah, fascinating. Fascinating, fun, enjoyable, engaging.
You know what is
game.
Fascinating?
What's that?
The amount of games that are on this coming weekend.
Okay, hold on. Get my phone.
Oh, I've got a note for that. Okay. I'm not there yet. All right,
come on. Come
Number on. One, and it's an early game because we only get a 6-day rest. It's a Friday game.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Ireland against New Zealand.
I want to play golf on Saturday, though.
No Bodie.
I've got things to do, so much stuff to do, actually.
No Cody. Ooh, yeah. And Proctor's coming back to New Zealand because his partner's having a child.
Holy shit.
Putting his child before rugby.
How dare he make a good decision.
He's a young man to be having a child. I didn't have a child until I was in my 30s.
You disapprove?
Well, no.
No, good for you. Well done, Proctor.
Hope you and your missus are healthy and the baby is healthy.
Yeah. How did this become like a baby shower? Well done. I've got a scratchy eye.
Okay.
Should I keep my finger out of it?
Probably.
Can you blow on it?
No. Just keep it shut for a while.
Just blow on it.
Just like your mouth.
Just. This is going to be a fun podcast.
Ireland against New Zealand.
Okay, yeah, Ireland versus New Zealand. Oh, so we get D-Mac starts at 10.
Absolutely.
Plummer comes onto the bench?
Maybe.
Or is Perifetta around?
Yeah, probably Perifetta.
Perifetta goes on the bench.
Ruben Love's been called up. Oh. Brody McAllister has been called up, but it'll be Bell as the other hooker. It'll be Armour and Bell.
I don't like Bell.
I told you, a bell end.
Yeah, he wouldn't go well at the bar bell. Boxing
club.
Okay, and then, yeah, Cody Taylor's a big loss.
For sure.
That's a big old loss. But we'll see how that goes. And then who do we get to cover the midfield?
Well, it's still Rico and Geordie starting.
But is... ALB
out yeah with they didn't mention him being out.
He could be out with concussion or out on suspension.
Yeah, maybe he's just available. Maybe he's good to go.
Maybe I get Havili. Where's Havili?
Is he in yeah, Havili's the other one for sure.
Maybe they get Havili just on form as well because ALB had shat the bed a bit.
Okay, I don't want Havili in there.
You don't like Havils?
No,
I think he's alright.
He's better than me.
Well,
sitting the bar pretty low.
A heavy bag of grapefruits is more what? Threatening to an attacking line.
Yeah, there's a guy at the supermarket the other day. A security guard came up to me. He was walking around. He just stopped and he was like, "Geez, you're pretty tall." And I was like, "Yeah, I am."
Guy in the warehouse.
And he was like, "How tall are you?" And I was like, "Oh, like 6'4". And he was like, "Oh, that's pretty tall." He's like, "Do you play sports?" And I was like, "Oh, I used to play cricket and stuff." And he's like, "I play golf." And I was like, "Oh, how does the golf go?" And we talked about golf for like 5 minutes.
All right. That's nice.
It was crazy.
And you thought you like must know you from the pod or something, but
he just wanted to talk
not
to
the pod, but like the channel.
He just wanted to talk to a tall man.
This guy's tall, let's have a chat. Yeah. That's nice. I like things like
he's
that.
Affable.
Yeah.
Tall.
I got recognized from the pod on at the warehouse.
When?
Over the weekend.
That's a first.
Yeah. He said, love the pod, by the way. Because I was asking him about a pot. I was like, are these 15 inches? It's not often I see 15 inches. And
that's the first time.
And he said, I love the pod, by the way. And I said, sorry about that. Yeah.
Is that all he said?
No, he said, "Love the pod." I said, "Oh, so you're a fan of 2 cents." And then he said, because that was the only other time I got to recognize for the, you know, somebody recognized me on the pod. I was like, "Do you like the interview?" She was like, "Yeah." It was a young girl, about 14 the first time.
Oh, wow, that's random.
And then I said, "Are you a fan of 2 cents?" And she said, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "Okay, cool." That you knew. That was the end of it.
Well, that's the end of our conversation.
So the next time I said, "Did you're a fan of 2 cents?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I like the podcast." And he said, "Especially the distracted bit." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man.
There you go.
Appreciate it, pal." I maybe immediately questioned the man's taste, but you know,
each to their own.
Each their own. You know, cheers to you, that guy. What we were talking about?
New Zealand against Ireland?
It was weird, eh? Like, I was thinking at the end of that game, the England game, going, shit. If we lose this game, this is such a failed season.
Yeah.
Like, if we... Because
it's going to be so, honest, like, just like, so even hard. If you're just looking literally at the world rankings, this is the easy one of the three.
Yeah, exactly. So,
no disrespect, it's just like literally, yeah. France and Ireland are ranked higher than England. I was like,
basically, we need to go bang, bang, or it's a complete shitter of a season.
Yeah.
But it actually has taken a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can go out there and play with freedom and stick it up these bastards' asses. Love the Irish. They're my second team. I'm Irish, for God's sake. But...
You are an O'Sullivan.
I am an O'Sullivan. I love the Irish. They're my second team, but boy, do I want to beat them.
Yep.
And I love the fact it's got a bit of heat, a bit of spice behind it. And I hope it's spicy. I hope both teams play really, really well. And I hope the Irish go home crying into their Guinnesses.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could live with that.
Yeah. I would like that to happen.
I also want New Zealand to win rugby. That would be nice.
One thing we can agree on.
I couldn't even sit down for the end of the England game. I was pacing the room.
Those old hemorrhoids coming back.
Exactly.
At you,
I couldn't sit down. There was burning a new one.
he's got hemorrhoids and he's also got massive anal boils.
That's the thing. Two cents gets distracted by his ass.
And he has a prolapse rectum.
Okay, what does that mean? I don't want to know. The other games are... Can I tell you a story? There's so many games. Okay, England, okay. Australia.
Suwali, we get to see how he goes.
Potentially. Joe was hinting that he might play the second game.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it's incredible that they're looking to play him.
Well, he's on a lot of money.
Yeah, but he's just played a full NRL season.
He's on a lot of money.
Yeah.
This is his only chance to play for the Wallabies, basically, before the Lions tour.
He hasn't played any rugby for like...
Check him in at a test match at Twickenham.
6 years.
Test match ready.
The last rugby he played was like...
High school student.
High school sort of rep level.
Oh, well, England.
Check him in there. I saw that guy get sent off.
Literally, live.
At another Allianz Stadium there earlier in the year. So
you're picking England for that one, or Aussie upset?
I think smart money's on England there. Okay. But I'd like to see Aussie go well.
There we go. Big draw of the week is Italy-Argentina.
That's all I can think about. I think the Argies get that one.
Argies are without a few big guns. No Matera, neither Carrera, so...
Still think the Argies get it.
Okay. France against Japan.
Oh, another game I can't stop thinking about. I think
the ones which none of the countries speak English, I don't get that many views on.
Yeah, because they can't understand you.
What the hell is he talking about?
Hey, I can't understand this guy. Where is the meatballs?
You know, I actually went to a barbecue a couple of weeks ago with...
Is this the Christian barbecue?
No, different one.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of Italians there.
Oh.
They both came over to New Zealand with their PhDs. Yeah. They decided to stay.
Oh.
And the girl...
Tale as old as time.
And they've got they've got two daughters.
Uh-huh.
And they try to speak Italian to them at home.
Yes.
And she actually said to me that she catches herself sometimes just adding, like, because her brain is just so much in English these days. She will add like A to the end of a word and tell her daughter that's what it is in Italian. And she's like, wait a minute. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Italian has a word for this.
Ah, the microphone. No.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, so that literally goes with the steroids. I hope the wheels say we were speaking fake Italian. Wales against Fiji?
I already said Fiji.
Oh, that's right. I said Wales.
Yeah, I think Wales probably going to win, but I'm going for Fiji.
And then Scotland are taking on the Springboks.
The Springboks. I think that's pretty safe-ish money there.
Scotland just won 57-17 against Fiji.
Yeah, so they're playing the world champion Springboks, who have looked pretty good this year. Mm. Other than I think the blockbuster clash of the weekend is
bookended, isn't it?
It's Ireland.
New Zealand is the biggest one of the week in terms of world rankings. That's one against three.
Yeah, it's huge.
South Africa Scotland is 2-7.
Yeah,
England Australia is like five against.
Who are the Saffers playing for the rest of the tour?
Oh, I don't have that in front of me.
Are they playing France?
I don't think they're playing France or Ireland.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So I can probably look it up for you while you're going. Why are you going to get your phone? Yeah. I'll look it up for you. I got a shocking memory for fixtures. So week three, the South Africans are playing England. And week four, they're playing Wales. I knew they were avoiding like France and Ireland.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it would be better if they were playing...
Ireland.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
I'd love to see them playing Ireland.
Okay. All right.
All right, so this is the end of the rugby. That's it. Two games this week and a bunch of games next week.
Massive giant cock. Result for the Black Caps this week.
Tony is about to talk cricket, so for you rugby fans, I'll catch you guys next week.
This is worth listening to. So they just wrapped up a three-match series in India. India has never, ever, ever lost in their entire series a three-match series in India. Never, ever.
Never happened before.
Never happened before. They've never lost a three-match series. We hadn't, before we won this first of the three series, we hadn't won for 36 years. Last time we'd won before that was
in India.
In India was in 1988. They hadn't won, India hadn't lost a series in India since 2012. So
okay, so it's already been 12 years since they've lost even lost at home, and we haven't won there in 36 years.
Yeah, we hadn't won there for 36 years. Going into, so incredible. I had tears in my eyes when we took the final wicket. AJS took the wicket yesterday. It was so, one of the greatest sporting achievements by a New Zealand team of all time. I can tell you like some, stats? Odds?
I've got some stats.
Okay, so it was for us to win the first game was 14-1. Okay,
ooh.
14-1 to win the first game. Okay, so all of the odds for the games were 14-1 against New Zealand going into the game, going into the tournament. So the odds for us to win a three match series,
even just winning two out of three.
No, to win all three.
Oh, win all three.
Win all three. So you put on $100 in the first game. Okay, you win $1,400 back.
That's a pretty sweet investment.
Yeah, not too bad.
Spicy meatball.
But if you say, get this, if you said, I'm going to put $100 on the Black Caps to win all three of these.
Sweep the series. That even takes the weather into account, that none of the matches are going to get cancelled.
Yeah. The odds were for us to do that, because they exponentially compound.
Yes, of course.
14 and 14 and 14. They compound to 3,375 to one.
So even $1 on that would have been a good investment.
So if you put $100 on it, you would have got 337,500 back. I felt like I said that.
I doubt anybody did that.
But isn't that incredible?
That's quite incredible.
Isn't that insane?
That's like even better. That's better than Leicester City to win the Premier League all those years ago.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you do your charts. And you're like...
The Zebras got fuck all chance of winning it. It happened.
And you go like your negative figures when you do the chances of the World Cup. Yeah. And you go, oh, okay, well, you know...
Georgia, no chance.
What's the smallest team that were in the World Cup last year?
Like Namibia.
Namibia.
Or Portugal.
I'm sure they had better odds than 3,375.
Yeah, no, it was like 1,000-1.
It's incredible.
This is more incredible than Portugal winning the Rugby World Cup.
Just amazing. Just incredible. So incredibly proud of them. Hmm. Just amazing.
I watched.
By the way, I haven't had that ratified by the TAB or anything like that. Okay. But there was me having a conversation with...
ChatGPT.
They told me what the odds were. And then they said, well, yeah, if you put it through... And like how it compounds, it's just nuts, nuts. Nobody. Ruchin Ravindra played incredible in the first innings, incredible 100. Santner, amazing, a couple of 5-wicket hauls in both of the games, and then finally this week, I've forgotten his name. Ajaz Patel just Absolute freakish figures. I think he got 7 for 106 and 6 for 46 or something like that. In Mumbai, where the place where he was actually born. He's played 2 test matches in Mumbai. He's taken 27 wickets there. He is one of only 3 players in history to take a 10-wicket haul. And he took it in Mumbai, the city where he's from. He's Kiwi as. He's went to Avondale College. Like, he talks like with a massive thick Kiwi accent, but they never play him outside of the subcontinent because he's a real spinner. He's never taken a single wicket in New Zealand.
Wow.
But has taken all his
wickets. Our pitches are just green.
Yeah, they're not made for his style. Incredible. Just incredible.
Can I tell you my favorite moment of the series?
Oh, you have a favorite moment? Yeah, favorite moment. Wow.
So I watched the end of the Indian innings in which we bowled them out to win the test.
Incredible.
And I forget the name of our bowler.
We were defending 146. Against that batting lineup, they should be able to get that. The fact we restricted them 120, just amazing. Just incredible.
I forget who our bowler was.
Yeah.
But he got 2 wickets in a row.
Was it Glenn Phillips?
1 wicket away from the guy who took the penultimate wicket.
Yeah, Glenn Phillips.
I said Glenn Phillips.
Yeah.
He's on a hat trick.
I think he's South African born, by the way.
Okay, we love poaching the Indians and the South African Power cricket team. We don't do it just in rugby as well. So he takes 2 wickets in a row. I was being facetious, by the way. Yeah. I don't think these guys probably grew up here. Yeah.
Well, you think he's actually got a little South African accent.
Okay, so maybe we did poach that one.
Grant Elliott. We've taken a few South African over the years.
So
they come over here and...
The final Indian batsman, their number 11,
yeah,
who will be their worst batsman, that's why he's the last guy to come out,
yeah,
comes out facing a hat-trick ball.
Yeah.
And defeat in the series ball. Yeah. And he survives that ball and the crowd are like, yes! Like the biggest ironic cheer. And it was fucking glorious. Yeah. Good on you, Indian cricket fans, for that ironic cheer for your number 11 surviving the hat-trick ball.
If you want to, I've spent the day listening to Indian podcasts and stuff, just listening to them cry all day.
Yeah.
Because they're devastated. I bet this has been, they're still technically on top of the world rankings, but they've played, on top of the world test championship standings, but they've played, I think, 3 games more than everybody else.
Okay.
So, but now they're about to, so they were looking in real good shape. They just needed to, everyone just thought they'd pump us 3-0. Because we lost 2-0 to Sri Lanka. Yeah. Not as strong a team as India.
We won 3-0.
And we won 3-0. And now they've got 5 tests in Australia, which everyone was, that's all anyone in India was talking about during the series was like, this is just a nice warm up for
Australia.
The Border Gavaskar trophy, which is a massive deal.
Is it Gavaskar or Gavaskar?
Yeah, I think it is Gavaskar. Why do you always have to correct me?
I don't know. It's cricket.
Maybe it's because I'm always getting things wrong.
I love cricket.
But yeah, so now they're like, oh, geez, we've got no chance against the Aussies. This is shit. And if we've got the Poms next up. So if we win that series 3-0, which is a tall ask, we could...
Where were we playing them?
Over here. New Zealand, yeah. Okay, yeah,
there's
yeah.
summer markets. So yeah. Works.
We could potentially... We could scrape our way into another final. Last time we made a final, we beat India.
Nice.
So incredible, amazing stuff.
I don't follow cricket, but it got me to watch about a minute of it.
Did you feel good about being a New Zealander?
Yeah, it was all right.
It's incredible, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. I was so proud of them. Amazing result.
It made me sad that India has such a massive test match crowd, but we don't get any fans to our tests over here.
Why do you have to be so cynical?
No one gives a shit. It's sad.
No, they do give a shit. I think the actual
test matches don't get any crowds.
No, test match crowds have been a lot better over the last few years since we won the World Test Championship. You're just thinking about it when you used to watch cricket.
Okay.
Well, you watch. We'll have better crowds.
I want to see some stats.
I want to see some stuff. Mm. We've got some really nice test match venues now. Okay. One of the big problems was playing a test match at Eden Park.
That's stupid.
Real dumb. Not a good spot to play test match.
It needs to be an oval.
We don't have a good test match.
It's a rectangle field. It doesn't work well when you've got short boundaries.
Yeah, we don't have a good
test match. Nathan Astle almost fucking killed me at Eden Park. Me and what'd my brother went to watch Canterbury against Auckland or something.
Oh, yeah.
And like, there's like 20 of us in the crowd, and he must have just been like those Jaffas. And he was just like, bang, bang. Like, we were taking cover. One old guy got hit by the ball, and he had St. John's coming because he was pissing with blood. There was 20 people there, Nathan Astle. Why are you aiming for us?
Mate, why didn't you move?
We did. We moved like a mother, but the old guy was too slow.
But why didn't you move seats?
We did. You couldn't know where he was going to hit it.
So you just go, just following you around. It's like when you're fielding
badly. Whack-a-mole.
When you're fielding badly.
Whack-a-jaffa.
When you're fielding badly, the ball follows you. Did you try and get up for a catch?
Hell no, I was getting out of the way. That thing was coming at a million miles an hour. Yeah, no.
Those Morgan boys showing known for their bravery.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Right.
Any other sports you want
to No, no, that's the only sports. Formula One happened this morning. Verstappen got an incredible win from 17th on the grid to win the win by 20.
Good old Max, eh?
Yeah, incredible.
What if he had a Red Bull?
Maybe. Would have told people he did.
Probably. Yeah. All right. I like all the England guys having to refer to it as Allianz Stadium.
Yeah, that's not right, eh?
Feels wrong.
It's Twickenham. It ain't right. It just ain't right. It's Allianz Twickenham Stadium, is it what they call it now?
No, like Scottish Gas Murrayfield is like Scottish Gas Murrayfield, but Allianz Stadium is just Allianz Stadium.
Really? It's I think on like... on the New Zealand, I noticed it said, on the coverage it said Allianz Stadium, Twickenham.
I think it's Twickenham's a suburb, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Twickers.
Don't know.
Home base. Well, not home base, what do they call it? No, headquarters.
There you go.
Anyway.
That's us.
Fantastic.
More games next week.
A lot more. We can't afford to talk about the All Black game for 40 minutes next week.
No, we can't.
We talked about it for quite a while, didn't we?
Quite a while.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for watching this podcast.
You guys are champions for watching 2 Cents Gets Distracted Rugby Podcast.
Ha-de-da.
Bye-bye.